I was sitting at my desk the other day. I studied for this, I call it a lesson, I guess you'd call it, for 2 days, just asking God what He wants me to, through the Holy Spirit, what He wants me to teach tonight. And I want to teach on the condition of the church. And we all know, right? I mean, we're educated enough in this church to where we know that we're living in the Laodicean church age about what's going on in the church and everything. And we're not shocked anymore as the church. We're not shocked anymore. Well, as Americans, we're not shocked anymore. I mean, just look what you're seeing on TV. Nothing surprises us anymore. We're not shocked about what's going on. And not only are we not shocked, are we not surprised, but just to be honest, we really don't get that excited either. I mean, you know, we really don't get that excited. But we as believers are the last remaining remnant of the church. If you read any sermons, and I've read a ton of sermons, I mean, I've read just oodles and gobs of sermons, you know, on different preachers. Some preachers that don't believe like I believe, or some preachers that believe just a little bit different than I believe, and don't major on the minors, but we're living in the last days, and we as the remnant that God talks about in the Word of God, as God's elect, I mean, we are God's elect. I mean, according to the Scripture, we're God's elect. If you read any and study any of the Scripture, we're living in the last days. And we as believers, we shouldn't be surprised or aghast at what's going on. But we as believers, as it gets closer, we need to get excited. We need to be excited as children of God. And we've gone off as the church in all directions. I tell you what, I praise God that He died for the church. And that we're secure. Because if the church, the true church, wasn't secure, we'd be in a hot mess, I tell you what. And I like to call us the biblical church, just like it goes along with biblical Christians, okay? And the church has gone off in all different directions. And I'm not talking about the Charismatics or the Pentecostals or the Catholics or the Lutherans or the Presbyterians and so on and so forth. I'm not talking about them. God's going to deal with them. What I'm talking about is God's elect, the church, okay? Now, we as the church ought to know that we're not all pure, right? I mean, we're not all, I mean, a lot of times what we need to do is get our noses up from the air, because we don't, and when it rains, we're going to drown. And I tell you what, so we've gone off in all directions, and we have strayed from the path that God has set out for us. And we're going to look at a scripture tonight that God led me to. I don't know why He led me this scripture, but does anybody have a amplified version of the Bible? Anybody raise your hand let me encourage you. Let me tell you what the amplified is. If you're a diehard King James Version person, you're going to hell. Anyway, I don't preach out of the Amplified. I mostly preach out of the King James Version or the New King James Version, okay? Now, I discovered the Amplified Bible many years ago. When you're studying the Word of God, I know Brother Harold does this. He just don't study out of the King James. If he did, he'd get a lot of things wrong. But the Amplified Bible, what the Amplified Bible does, it takes the Amplified Bible in the New Testament and the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Amplified Bible breaks down certain words, all right, in the Hebrew. In the New Testament, it takes certain words from the Amplified, and that's why they call it the Amplified, because it amplifies certain quotations of the Bible, certain words of the Bible. All right. Now, this scripture that I'm going to read to you, first of all, let's look in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 7, okay? And we probably know this scripture by heart because we was in the book of Matthew for like 2 years, wasn't we? 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that. And this is a well-known scripture, okay? But first of all, I'm going to read out of the New King James, okay? And you'll be able to follow along in your King James if you have the King James Bible, okay? And we all know this scripture. The title of my Bible is The Narrow Way. Right? It's familiar, right? I mean, probably some of you can probably quote this scripture by heart. Here's what it says. But we're going to break it down in the Amplified and break it down and really get a different meaning, a more real tight, real good stuff out of it, okay? Here's what it says. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, let me read it to you out of the Amplified Version, okay? You ready for this? Now, you'll find some similarities to the King James or the New King James or whatever translation you have, but it'll be just a little bit different. It's going to break it down and a lot more, it'll be more fine. It says here, this is out of the Amplified, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction, and many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, and it's got in parentheses what it means by the gate is narrow. And I want you to listen to this. It says, but the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure. Okay, listen to this. And the way is straightened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. Okay, a little bit different there, right? A little bit different. Now, here's what it means. I looked it up in a dictionary, of course. Probably some of y'all know this, what compressed means. It means to squeeze together, to shrink. Okay? Now it says, but the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straightened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. Now, we all know, right? I mean, we're educated enough, hopefully, that we all know that there's only one way to eternal life. Easy. This is simple theology 101. Right? It's simple stuff, you know. It's simple stuff. And we know that this scripture tells us that the way to eternal life is, okay, I'm just going to give you an illustration here, okay? The way to eternal life is compressed. All right? It's narrow. It's about this wide. Okay? The way to eternal life is about this wide. You know how wide this is? One man can fit through that way. It's about the width of one man. You know what that one man is, don't you? The God-man, Jesus Christ. It is compressed. It is narrow. And that's what the scripture says. Now, what has happened to the church today? Okay? And let's say, what has happened to the Baptist today? I'm not even going to include Southern Baptists in there because they're so off track, it's pitiful. What has happened to Baptists today? Now, let me tell you what's happened to Baptists. Now, we know the Scripture calls us the elect of God. Okay, and according to Scripture, we as the elect of God, I preached a sermon one time on predestination. I love that sermon. If God gives me a chance, I'll preach it here one of these times. We know that the way to eternal life is narrow, okay? It's narrow. It's the width of a man and the God-man, Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the broad way, and the Baptists have gone, for the most part, the Baptists have gone the broad way, okay? Now, when somebody, now, let me make this statement, okay? I think Brother Harold Smith is very narrow-minded. Thank God. We all need to be narrow-minded. All right. If somebody calls you narrow-minded, and I've been called many things in my ministry, many things that I cannot repeat in the church, but I've been called many things, but narrow-minded is probably one of the greatest compliments I've ever had. So that's what we want to do. We want to be called narrow-minded. When somebody calls you narrow-minded, it's considered a compliment, okay? To be narrow-minded. So we have a narrow narrow-minded pastor, and that's good. We all agree that's good. Narrow-minded, okay, because it's narrow way to receive eternal life. Broad is the way to destruction. Now, the other preachers in this church are narrow-minded. Everybody that have belonged to this church is narrow-minded. When Nancy and I came here, we visited here for about 4 months, okay? And, of course, I don't know if Brother Harold did this to everybody, but he probably did. When he set us in his office and he told us how he believed. Okay? He told us how he believed. And, of course, when Nancy and I sat in there, I could tell by the way he was preaching that he was a Calvinist. Okay, I could tell that. I mean, you know. And when he said, now, I just want y'all to know, it seemed like he was anticipating something. And we said, I just want y'all to know that I'm a Calvinist. And he kind of hesitated, like we were going to go, huh? Oh, no, you know, get up and leave. You know, well, we didn't, because I didn't know, but that's how I've been preaching for the last 25 years. You know, I believe in the elect of God. I believe in predestination. I believe that God is sovereign over all things. Everything is God is sovereign over. And so herein lies the problem. OK, herein lies the problem with the church. OK, when you hear, boy, I tell you what, there's not very many people think like we do. Well, that's very true. Now, let me give you an illustration. My brother goes to First Southern Central City. That's where Nancy and I used to go a long time ago. Nancy and I are some of the founding members of that church. I hammered the first, well, I actually didn't hammer it. I hammered my thumb, but I hammered the first nail. And I'm not much with a hammer, I guarantee it. But and I was with my brother. This was during when my mother was real sick, and we were trying to get some things organized and everything, and I was riding in his truck, and God just kind of put on my heart, and you talk to your brother Doug. I said, okay, you know, I'm not much of a talker, amen. And so only when I'm preaching, that's when I talk. So I asked Lee. I said, Lee, what do you believe about the sovereignty of God? He said, well, you know, and he's a member of First Southern. He's a music leader down there. No, he's not a music leader. He's a music minister. Let me redo that. I can't find that in Scripture, but it's in there. Okay, he's a music minister. So I said, "What do you believe about the sovereignty of God, Lee?" He said, "Man, I believe it." I said, "Lee, can I tell you something that you probably don't know? But Lee, I'm a Calvinist. I believe in the sovereignty of God over everything. God knows everything. He believed everything. Everyone who's called, elected, and predestination." I believe in all that stuff. He kind of was driving in his truck, and I thought he was going to swerve it off, but he didn't. He said, you know, I kind of believe that too. You know, I said, what about your preacher? The guy, his preacher's a good guy. I love him to death. He's just a good guy. I said, what about your preacher? Is he a Calvinist, Lee? Does he believe in the sovereignty of God and the elect and the predestination? And I just kind of quoted all these, you know, theological words to him. He said, well, yeah, you know, he kind of preaches that way. He kind of preaches that way. I'll tell you what, there's few there be that find it. Now, the Scripture talks about, as we look at Scripture tonight, as we just got through looking at the narrow way. We all agree that it's a narrow way to eternal life. Okay, it's compressed. There's borders. There's boundaries that God has set. And you can't go outside these boundaries when it comes to eternal life. Okay? You can't do it. You can't go outside these boundaries. It's kind of like when I'm has anybody got one of these certain apps in their car that tells you when you're getting out of your lane and it beeps? Yeah, I got one too. Yeah. Nancy says, well, Doug, you're just driving all over the road. I said, man, I got these lines. I can drive all these lines as long as I don't get past them. You know what I mean? You know? She says I drive like I'm drunk, but well, God has set up boundaries. That's what that scripture we just got through looking at. There are boundaries. You as a child of God, you have boundaries. Okay? Now, sometimes we swerve one way, okay? Sometimes we swerve another. As long as you don't get outside them lines, you're fine. Okay? You're all right. There's no problem. But you know, because none of us that I know of is looking around the auditorium here. None of us are always driving straight, okay? There's a few you know, driving on them boundaries. But God gives us, and we know this is the way it's going, okay? You talking about seeing prophetic things happening today, you know, and I want you to understand something. I'm not interested in my government one iota. I don't care. God's in charge of that. I don't have to worry about that. God's in charge. God's in charge of all these things. The one thing I focus on is my own Christian life, my own how I believe, and what's going on in the world today when it comes to the church. Okay? That's when it comes to the church. And I want to show you something in the Word of God. And herein lies the problem. Okay? Herein lies the problem. Here it is. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the title I see on my Bible, and it's the New King James, I'm not reading out of the Amplified now, okay, is The Great Apostasy. The Great Apostasy. Now, I love how it starts out. I love these first five words. Now the Spirit expressly says. Now stop right there. Don't read it. Don't read ahead of me, okay? Now, the Spirit expressly says. Now, you as a child of God, if you have a devotional time in the morning, Nancy and I, when we get up, whenever it is, okay, it could be 1 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever. No, we don't get up that late. But we don't get up early either, okay? We don't do that. I did that for 44 years. I'm not going to start that. I love it when it says that because you as a child of God, when you're sitting under, okay, the Word of God, okay, and it's preached, the Word of God is being preached to you, okay, now I'm talking about the Word of God. Y'all got that? It's the Word of God. Now, that should excite you. Really, it should. I mean, of all things, sitting under the preaching. I just want you to bear with me just for a little bit, okay? Now, this is Brother Harold. Okay? All right, this is Brother Harold. All right. He's a little dude, ain't he? He's a little dude. He's little. Okay? He's what you call short wide. Okay? He's short wide. That's true, he is. Now, he doesn't excite me. It's what he preaches that excites me. Okay? That makes him 8 foot tall. Okay? That makes him 8 foot tall. It really does. And so we as the elect, as the children of God, we know that the church is in its last days. We know that. Okay? Because this scripture tells us it is. So we shouldn't get excited about the politics and what's going on in politics. What's going on here? What's going on there? What's going on? Our focus should be on the Word of God and what God tells us in His Word. See? And here's what it says. It says, now the Spirit expressly says. Now when you see all this going on in our country, okay, excuse me, the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, okay? The Spirit of God speaks to our heart. When you know what's going on in the church as a whole, not as a Lee Creek Baptist Church, but the church as a whole, the Spirit of God reveals these things to you, okay? And He reveals those things to you, not just out of the blue, but from the Word of God. See, that's our focus. And anytime the Word of God is being preached or taught, we should get excited. Amen? That's true. See, here's what it said. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is to be received with thanksgiving. Let's this now. Listen to what it says in verse 5. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. See that? By the word of God and prayer. Now what do we have here? We have here according to the King James Version, those who depart from the faith. Those who depart from the faith. Okay? And we have, from the Amplifies, it says, turn away from the faith. In the New American Standards, fall away from the faith. In the NIV, abandon the faith. Now let me touch on this for a minute. Now, if you, as God's elect, there's no way you're going to stay away from the faith. If you stray out of that line, out of those lines that God has made, and you stray from that line, God might leave you out over that line for a certain period of time. But he's not going to leave you out from that line for very long. He's going to get you back in that line. Because if he doesn't, he's not a sovereign God. And he's a liar. Besides that, as we'll talk about in the book of Hebrews here in a little bit. Okay? So we've got those who abandon the faith. And so, they have discovered some new revelation. Okay? Now you've got somebody, now all my life, now for, let me confess to you, when I first started going to church, I went to a Methodist church. Okay. That's just the way it is, folks. I couldn't do nothing about it. Mom took us to a Methodist church. It's a church that my uncle Nub was an elder of that church, and we used to always go to a Methodist church. Now, when I got old enough, we started Nancy and I. When we got married, I wasn't a child of God, all right, and I didn't care anything about church. I could care less about church. Matter of fact, I hated people who went to church. I hated people who even talked about the Bible. I hated people, man, that came to me with the, my cousin used to come to our house. He's an old Baptist deacon. He goes to First Southern and Central. He used to go to First Baptist Barley. And Terry would come to my house, and I would turn all the lights out and shut the shades and make everybody be quiet. Terry's here. He's visiting for the church. That's what I used to do. I used to hate doing it. And then God led me to First Baptist Barling, and God, through the preaching of the word by Angel Martinez at that particular time in my life, as God elected me on that particular time, God spoke to my heart on that particular time through the Holy Spirit of God, and through the preaching of the word of God, lo and behold, here I am, all 6'4", 250 pounds. Right? And God saved me. God, my name had already been in the Lamb's Book of Life from the very beginning of time. That's the sovereignty of God, folks. And so they have discovered some new revelation. Of course, we know that's a lie. Okay? There are no new revelations. You know, do you know why they seek new revelations? Because they want to get excited. They want to get listen to me. Now, I'm not slamming this. They want certain kinds of music in their church, okay? They want the programs in their church, okay? They want something that will excite the youth, okay? They want something that will excite the youth. You know, I told you about it when we went to First Baptist Kibler. Oh, I said the name. And Nancy and I, we go in and we sit down and they start out with the flashing lights and everything and the dim lights, the real dim lights, and hardly you can't see the Bible. You can't hardly read the Bible in there. And the flashy lights, and all of a sudden, somebody comes up, and he had those shiny pants on, you know, with the sparkly things on them, all the sequins and stuff, and lo and behold, it was the preacher. I said, man, what's that guy got them women's pants on for? You know? He wants all them shiny things, and all the sparkly things, and all the loud music and stuff. Hey, that don't excite me, okay? Hey, you say, huh? Well, you could probably name just about any church, right? You know, just about any church, you know. So they want new things. See, the church, now, there's no doubt in my mind some of those people in that church are born-again believers or God's elect. But they're missing out on things. See, what should excite us as children of God is not the flashy lights. It should be the Word of God. Here. And as God, through the Holy Spirit, interprets it to us, that's what should excite us. Now, what's happened to the church? They have become broad-minded. That's what's happened. They become broad-minded. They're just going so far outside the lines. And that's what it's talking about in the scripture here. That's the apostate church. That's not the real church. Hey, now, over the years, okay, now I am 67 years old. And I have found out over the years, I have become real settled, okay? Okay, I've become real settled. I mean, that's what happens when you get older, right? You become settled. Ron, you and Sammy wouldn't know anything about that. You become real settled. And I tell you what, God has enlightened me in the last few years, even I say the last 4 or 5 years, is that the most important thing in my life is the Word of God. It's not all these other things. You know, it's not even a meal on Wednesday nights. I don't get excited about that. That's the reason I don't come. I don't get excited. It don't make no difference to me. Okay, now I got excited about having breakfast, and not having Sunday school. But anyway, that's another deal. Okay, so they've gotten broad minded. They've gotten broad minded, but they've minimized what? They've minimized the Word of God. That's what they minimized. See, this is supposed to be forefront. This is supposed to be forefront. What they don't realize is that's the job, that's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. To bring everything to remembrance and to magnify and glorify Jesus Christ. That's what it does, see? That's what the Word of God does. And I tell you what, I cannot, until the day that I die, I can never know enough about Jesus Christ, what He's done for me as a child of God. So they minimize the Word of God. That's what it says here. That's what it's talking about. To minimize means to reduce to the smallest possible amount or degree, represent or establish at less than the true value or importance. Folks, this is the most important thing. If you have a man stand up supposedly to preach the Word of God, and he does not open his Bible or give you a scripture reference, run. Do not walk. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Huh? Who is like that? Joel Osteen. Huh? Joel Osteen. He doesn't preach from the Word. He doesn't open the Word. He doesn't preach from the Word of God. He wants to tell you some feel-good thing. Some feel-good thing. Hey, When I'm under the preaching of the Word of God, don't get me wrong, there are some good, feel-good sermons, right? But I just don't like the feel-good ones. I like the ones that tell me, you better repent, you dirty dog, you know. I like those too. I just don't like the fluff ones. I like the hard ones. Man, I like the ones that get down dirty. I've already heard all the I've preached all the fluff ones, you know, and I've heard all the fluff ones. I want some good meat, don't you? I want some good meat. So when you minimize God's word in this world, that's what happens. This is what happens to people that call themselves the church. It's not the church. It's the apostate church. This is what's being presented to us. Okay? Now let me tell you something about the Word of God. Okay? Y'all know this. I'm just telling you something you already know. The Word of God, certain parts of the Word of God are a mystery. You know why the Scripture calls it a mystery? You know how to find the answer to the mystery? Read all of it to the end. And it'll give you the answer to the mystery. That's just like a mystery novel. Huh? It's just like a mystery novel. There's a mystery. And a mystery says, and a mystery, what you're supposed to do is, when it becomes a mystery, don't minimize it. Man, the Scripture is major. It's major. It's forefront. It's the top. It's the big banana. That's what it is. The Scripture is, and you have to search it out, right? You have to search it out. You have to look it up. You have to study the show of thyself, approving to God, a workman need not to be ashamed. And a workman in that Scripture means somebody who diligently seeks it and digs for it. Eh? Ain't that something? You dig for it. You get a shovel and you dig for it and you work at it and you sweat. We had a garden this year and boy, it produced. I tell you what, I got more jalapeno peppers than you can shake a stick at. I got enough jalapeno peppers canned to feed the whole city of Van Buren. And man, it produced tomatoes and peppers and we got some eggplant out of it and we got some peas out of it and we got some okra. Just I had okra 10 foot tall. It was just amazing. You know why it produced like it did? I worked at it. Nancy and I worked at it. Try to get the stinking grass out of it. You know, you work at it. That's what it is. Well, we have the complete book of the Word of God. And we're supposed to not minimize it, but major it. Work at it. Work at it. I tell you what, that's what the Scripture tells us to do. We're to work at it. And a lot of this stuff that's coming out now comes straight from Satan's mouth. And we're to study it and break it down and get excited about it. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. And it says in the Word of God, let me read you something else here. But know this, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but know this, I love the way he starts that. The Spirit expressly speaks, 1 Timothy. And here he says, but know this. Okay, and here's what he's saying. He's got his finger just like I do. Hey, but know this, he says, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. There's a warning, right? I mean, that's what it says. Now, the Amplified says this, but understand this, that in the last days will come perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self, utterly self-centered, lovers of money, and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffers, disobedient to parents. Isn't it weird how you put that in there? Oh, not obedient to parents, right? You ever been to Walmart? Huh? Kids running up and down the aisles, right? Screaming in the carts, screaming to mama, you know, grabbing things off the shelf. Mine would be dead by then. You know? They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affections, callous or inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderous, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce haters of good. They will be treacherous betrayers and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than the lovers of God. It says, for although they hold a form of piety, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Man, can you see that today? Man, can you see that today? I can see it. Let me tell you what happened to us. I believe it was last Christmas. We were driving in Walmart parking lot. This was in Fort Smith. Okay, this didn't happen in Van Buren. We were driving around Christmas time in the parking lot at Fort Smith on Rogers Avenue. And, of course, I'm a perfect driver, so I really don't know why this happened. We pull up to a stop sign, and I stop, and I let traffic go. Right? I let traffic. When you pull up to a stop sign, you're supposed to yield, right? You're supposed to let traffic go. And that's what I did. And I pulled out and parked my car. Guy comes rolling up. I believe it was last Christmas, was it, Nancy? You don't know? Nancy wasn't with me. But this guy stops and says, he starts cussing at me. And I, of course, being who I am, being the humble man that I am, I said, what's your problem, dude? What's your problem, you know? Nancy was with me on my side there, and all the time she was tugging me. What's your problem, dude? And he said, man, you cut right in front of me. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, man, I got a gun. I got a gun. I said, get your gun. Let's go. And, of course, he didn't get his gun. And Nancy pulled me so hard, she pulled my arm out of socket. But, hey, man, that's the day. That's the things that are happening today. You know, and this is what we see. This is what we witness. All these things, and so all these things we see. It says, for although they hold a form of piety, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Man, we see that today, don't we? I mean, come on. We see that in politics. Proud boasters, arrogant. We see that. Oh, man, we see it. We see it every time we go out. We see it every time we turn on the TV. We see it all the time. So what happened? You know, what happened? We're not talking about non-believers here. We're talking about believers. What happened? They're broad-minded. They're broad-minded when it comes to the Word of God. They're not narrow-minded like God wants us to be. They are broad-minded when it comes to the doctrine. All right? Now, I love doctrine. Okay? Now, that's the problem. A lot of people don't like doctrine. I love doctrine. I love it. I love it because I'm going to tell you what it is, okay? I'm going to tell you what it is. We all know what the Scripture says in verse 16 of chapter 3 in 2 Timothy. All right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, we all know what doctrine is, right? Doctrine is instruction. I love doctrine. I love God. I love the one true God who created all things, who's sovereign, giving me instructions. Okay, I like that. Instructions for what? How to live this life that he's called us to. That's how we do it. Well, preacher, you mean that I have to open up my Scripture and read it and study it for myself? Duh. Yeah. Because you're not going to get all the doctrine you need from the pulpit. I read this one time a long time ago when I was a pastor in church. You get less than 10% from the pulpit. Even though he's a good preacher, all right? And he tells it like it is, and he gives you, you know, he picks that bone dry. You get 10%. What are you going to do with the other 90%? Well, I also read a thing one time that most Christians, born-again believers, spend less than 15 minutes a week reading the Word. No wonder, you know, no wonder we don't get excited about the things of God. 10% in 15 minutes during the week? Come on, folks. It's following. That's how you learn to follow directions. We have this. We don't have a fireplace in our home. I love a fireplace, but we don't have a fireplace. We have an electric fireplace, okay? And it's got a heater in it. Boy, we haven't turned our heat on yet. And we're not going to have to do it for a long time because that thing puts out a lot of heat. And you got, you know, the electric flame and the logs. And, you know, you don't get to smell. And you don't have to clean up the wood or anything like that. But I still love a fireplace. Did you know there was an older man putting that together and an older woman putting that together? And the older man that was putting that together didn't like following instructions. Okay? But the older woman that was with this older man said, "Dear," I won't tell you the guy's name, "Dear, you have to follow the instructions because if you don't, it won't get together right." You know, it's like putting an engine together, you know, and you get all the spare parts. He said, you have to follow it verbatim, detailed, because and this thing weighs 200 pounds. And there was bolts and screws and hitches and all kinds of things. I was watching them put it together. It wasn't me, but okay. And there was all kinds of things, man. And Nancy said, "Doug, you can't put that together yet because it's not time." I thought, "Come on, let's get this thing up, man." And that's the same thing with the Word of God. Don't get the cart before the horse, folks. We know that according to the Word of God. It's following instructions. And there's always first things first, all right? We know that. We've heard it from the pulpit. Repentance and faith. Repentance. That's what the Holy Spirit does to you. You know, if you're saved and you're truly saved, the Holy Spirit only does it one way. There's not many ways to get saved. There's just one way. All right, there's just one way. And it says reproof. Reproof is admonish, rebuke, and conviction. Man, I tell you what, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? The Word of God's hard sometimes. Man, especially when it's telling you you're doing something wrong, right? That's not right. You know, Scripture, you read the Scripture, or you hear the Word being preached, and you say, and the Word of God says, that's not right. And it says correction, to strengthen up. I love what it says there, gives in the concordance in the Greek. Corrections, to strengthen up. When we're corrected, we become closer to God. Amen? I mean, I do. I mean, we become closer to God. And we know what the Scripture says in the book of Hebrews about being corrected. God corrects those whom He loves. And if you go without, this is Doug Dobson paraphrase, if you go without correction, you're a bastard and you're not a child of God. Yeah. I love correction. Instruction in righteousness, upright acting, being in accordance with Scripture. See, here's the deal, okay? Let me simplify it for you, okay? I went through all this spiel to simplify it for you. It all is based on this. It's all based on this, right? Why do you come to church? It's based on this. Why do you come to worship? It's based on this, all right? Not on the man behind the pulpit. As good as he is, and as much as we love him, it's about this, okay? It's about the Scripture, you know? Have you ever asked a question? And I'm sure that you have. I mean, everybody who's a child of God has. Why is this happening to me? You ever ask that question? Why is this happening to me? He'll tell you why it's happening to you. You don't need some special revelation. All right? You don't need to be driving in your car. All right? And the Spirit of God speaks to you. You don't need that. You don't. Because it doesn't happen that way. Let me tell you what He does. You can be driving in your car, yes, and the Spirit will speak to you, but He'll speak to you through the Word of God. He'll bring something to remembrance. Now, when I read out of several devotional books. I have a Charles Spurgeon devotional book that was given to me. And if you ever read anything of Charles Spurgeon, now this is in the original language, okay? The these and the thous and the there and twos. And he was a well-educated man. And some of them words in there, I got to get on Google and find out what them suckers are. Okay? Or get my concordance and find out what it is. And I think to myself, there ain't no way I'm going to remember any of this stuff. That's not true. Every now and then when I'm working in the yard or Nancy has me slaving doing the laundry or something like that, or vacuuming the floor or some irreverent thing, you know, and there's something that pops into my mind. Where did I hear this from? Charles Spurgeon. Or from the other two or three devotional books that I read out of. But I tell you what, it's when you ask the question, why is this happening to me? Here it is right here. Huh? You got any questions? Here it is right here. Here's your answers. Okay? Here are the answers right here to your theological questions. And to be honest, for the most part, as God's elect, you know why it's happening to you. You do. You really do. You know? When we sin as children of God and God corrects us, you know why you're being corrected. You do. I always know why I'm being corrected daily. Okay? I know why. So God's word says you shouldn't do this, but you do it. What's going to happen? Correction, according to Scripture. All right? So here we are driving down the road, okay? Driving down the road. And you stay within those lines, okay? You stay within those lines. You don't get outside those lines. You know, we don't have, like I said, all I have is Nancy telling me if I go outside the lines. And you're driving within those boundaries. That's the reason God set up those boundaries. You can drive within those boundaries. You can have your life within those boundaries. It's all right. It really is. But when you go outside the boundaries, God's going to say, get in those boundaries. Because if you don't get in those boundaries, He's going to correct you. And He's going to discipline you. All right? And let me tell you something. I hate, okay? You know, God, there's a time to hate, and that's the one thing I hate. I hate to be corrected by God because He's always right. And He knows just how to do it. You know what I mean? It's just like we had three boys, Larry, Moe, and Curly. And all three of my boys were different, okay? Matt, my oldest, was a hard nut to crack. Me and him got in some fights, okay? Corey, he was the tender-hearted one. I mean, he'd cry at the drop of a hat. If I was sitting down or something, and he did something, all I'd have to do is go. He'd start bawling. Sam never did anything wrong. He's our baby, you know. He's our baby. Hey, he learned. He was a quick learner. He learned from Matt, who was a hard nut to crack, from Corey, who was a soft heart, to Sam. Of course, he did things wrong. Don't get me wrong. But see, we had learned from these two how to do this one. You know what I mean? Well, God's the same way, folks. He disciplines us in different ways. He's not going to discipline me the way He's going to discipline Bob, because He knows what affects me. And He knows what affects Bob. And He's going to correct us in different ways. Of course, He'll correct us by the Word of God, of course. But sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we ain't listening. Yeah? It's just like that old guy that had to get the 2x4 and hit his mule upside the head. Sometimes God has to get 2x4, right? And He says in the book of Revelation, also in the book of Hebrews, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So here's the deal. We need to be narrow-minded. We need to be narrow-minded about the Word of God. This is the most precious thing we have right here. It's good. Okay? Whether you have it on a phone or not, okay? If you've got it on your phone, hey, I got a smartphone now. I ain't got a webbing, but I got a smartphone. I can get the ESV. I can get the English Standard Version. I can get the NIV. I can get the Amplified. I can get all kinds of Scripture on that phone. Sometimes I use it, but I still use the book. So here's what I have to say in a nutshell, and we'll have time to pray. This is the most important thing above all things. It's the Word. Man, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. That's what we ought to live by and stand by. Amen? All right.